Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jonah. I don't know about you, but the last couple of weeks in the Daily Office, we've been reading in books like Haggai, Jonah. I've had to consult my table of contents a couple of times just to find where these little tiny books are. When we hit Haggai this morning, I was like, my goodness, where is that? We're going to read Jonah 3. We're 3 weeks into a four-week study in the book of Jonah, and I don't know about you, but it's been a lot of fun for me. I really enjoyed this, and I think we're about to see the plot thicken over the next couple of weeks. So we're going to read the whole chapter, pray, and then spend some time thinking about how this ancient and somewhat bizarre text speaks to us today. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. Little babies, old men, everybody was wearing sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. No human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth. Little donkeys wearing sackcloth, people wearing sackcloth. And they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this turn in the story. God, we thank you that the emphasis for this moment really shifts away from our brother Jonah and focuses on the people of Nineveh. Would you help us today to hear what it is that you have for us? We want to hear what you want us to hear and receive what you have for us to receive, God, as we sit in the study of the book of Jonah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's recap. God's called Jonah to go to Nineveh, this great city. Jonah doesn't want to go, so he runs in the opposite direction. From where Jonah lived, Nineveh was northeast of him, and so he goes southwest, literally fleeing from the command of God. He does this because Nineveh is a terrible place. These are violent, oppressive, and aggressive people, and Jonah wants no part of it. As he gets in a boat going in the opposite direction, a storm kicks up. Jonah is ultimately thrown into the water so that the storm would abate and the people on the boat would not all die. And a fish swallows Jonah up. If you've been here over the last few weeks, we'd say that there are a lot of ways to read a book like this. You can have a literalist interpretation, or you could go in a more allegorical route. Christians have done both, and that's okay. We've got space to engage this in a way that we can engage it. Anyway, in this story, Jonah is in a dark, tight place for 3 days. In that dark, tight place, he has a classic jailhouse conversion. He rethinks his trajectory in a dark, tight place. He promises to make good on the command, promises to go where God had asked him to go. The fish spits him out on dry ground, and now we see what we see in chapter 3. I'm going to tell you four things, and it's going to help us kind of chart our way through the third chapter of Jonah. The first thing that we need to sit with is this. Very simple words at the beginning of chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. See, if we're not careful, we can fly right through a passage of the Bible. We can just play fast and loose with words and kind of try to get to the main idea. And if we do that, we miss phrases like this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. What this passage and this statement says at the beginning of our passage today is that God is inclined to give us second chances. And really, as we'll see as we look at this story, it's not a second chance. It's a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and an on and an on and an on. But I want to say this before we move on. If this story, the story of Jonah, is about anything, it's about the mercy of God. If this is a story that tells us and longs to tell us anything about God's heart, it tells us that what lives in God's heart is a desire to renew opportunities for you and for me to stay in the game. If you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, you see that Jonah has made nothing really but bad choices. He has moved in so many directions to make this story so hard, especially for it to be a story about redemption, and yet God's instinct to him again and again and again is to pull him back in. And so I just want to say to you today that if you're not doing very well, if you're struggling in life right now, if you feel like all the stuff around you is pushing you toward hardness of heart, toward bad decision making, I want you to hear that in the story of Jonah, no one is disqualified. No one is priced out of this story. So the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. And I love the language. If you go and look at it in the text, this is what the Lord says. Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. And so Jonah, after being in a really bad place, God comes to him a second time and puts him back in the game. And God says to him, I want you to hear me in three ways. I want you to get up, i.e. Jonah, the places where you're stuck, I want you to get yourself unstuck. The places where you've been going down, down, down. If you look at the language in Jonah chapter 1, it says that he went down to the boat. He went down in the boat to go to sleep. He was going down to the Mediterranean. Everything in Jonah's trajectory was down, down, down. And so when the Lord gives him a second chance, the Lord says basically, will you arrest the downward trajectory and will you get up? And for some of us in this room right now, we're facing giants, we're facing adversity, we're facing difficulty. And when the Lord gives us an opportunity to renew our engagement, the first thing that he says is, I want you to get up. I want you to move in a direction that is opposite of where your heart and your head have been leading you. And so the Lord asked Jonah, with no apology, I want you to arrest, stop, cease the negative trajectory of where your mind and your heart are going. Get up. And then he looks at him after saying, I want you to stop the slide. And he says, I want you to go. So get up is followed by go. And go means I want you to get back on the track that the Lord has asked you to be on. I want you to go in the direction, point your nose in the direction of truth and obedience and calling. And so he looks at Jonah and he says, I want you to go. And in Jonah's case, just like it's true for me and you countless times as we live our lives, the place the Lord asks us to go is rarely a place that we can go to in our own strength. He may be asking us to believe God for a wayward child. He may be asking us to trust God for a circumstance that's beyond our control. God doesn't ask Jonah to go to move in the right direction on his own strength. He says essentially, go and I'll be with you. But I need you to go. And I don't know how it works with you, but in my life, countless times, I have this sort of inner conversation with God. Well, I'll go if you'll just make it clear exactly what's going to happen when I get there. I'm all in, God, as long as I have a guarantee of success. It's why I've never been to the Georgia-Florida game. I don't want to go down there and see them lose. You know what? I'm kicking myself like 5 minutes in thinking, oh, I should have gone. But that's the way we live our lives, right? We think I'll be fully obedient if I'm fully guaranteed that this is all going to work out according to plan. But that's not what God tells Jonah. And frankly, it's not what he tells you. It's not what he tells me. He says, get up. Then he says, go. And then he says, proclaim to it the message that I will give you. I.e., you will not have the whole thing figured out before you start moving. So will you start moving anyway? And as I look at my life and I examine the places in my own life where I tend to be stuck and stay stuck, I see that there's something here for me, and maybe there's something right there in that passage for you. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. And when the word of the Lord comes to us to renew us, to get us back in the game, the Lord will almost always say, get up, go, and listen to what I tell you, because it will unfold as you go. So Jonah's moving. The second thing we see in this passage is Jonah is finally obedient. It's the first time that Jonah's got on board with what the Lord has. I mean, this is like Jonah walking in the right direction. So the fish spits him out. And I love that part of this story, because it's just wild. Like, he's now on dry land, covered in whatever it is that would have been inside the belly of a fish. And he starts walking to Nineveh. Now, if we're going to play some games with geography here, Nineveh would have been roughly 1,000 miles from where Jonah started from in Judah. He heads in the wrong direction. Now, I don't know where the fish spits him out, but however you want to slice this story, Jonah has a lot of time to think as he is going to do the right thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I do know a thing or two about Jonah, and I know a thing or two about me. And Jonah, based on his response when he gets to Nineveh and what he does, I mean, if you think Jonah is a little snarky in chapter 3, y'all, come back next week, because the wheels come off this story. Chapter 4 is one of the most embarrassing chapters in the whole Bible. And I love it for that reason, because it kind of gives me a way to move forward when I'm not doing very well. Well, Jonah's about to lose his mind. And here's how he got there. He had like an 800-mile walk to think it through. And you've probably been here before. You know you've got an awkward conversation coming and you just stew on it and work yourself into an emotional mental frenzy so that by the time you get there, your guns are out and you are ready to go. Jonah, 800 plus miles of stewing. I'm going to let those Ninevites have it. My feet hurt. They're terrible people. And by the time I get there, I'm going to be so obedient to God that they're all going to die. And by the time Jonah, Mr. Obedience, gets to Nineveh, he is angry. He is out for blood. He's basically saying, if the Lord God of heaven has sent me to these terrible people, he has done so in order to kill them all. And he walks into the big city. 3 days walk. So y'all got to hear this. The Bible tells us it's 3 days walk. Jonah only does one day. So the Lord asked him to walk through a process. And Jonah's like, after one third of the process, I got this. Y'all all going to hell. He doesn't actually finish what the Lord asked him to do. He gets a third of the way through it and he draws a hard and fast conclusion about where this story's going. And he just stops in the middle and says, God's done with y'all. Have you ever jumped to conclusions when you're really angry, annoyed, and upset? Has the Lord ever asked you to walk across the 3-day version of the town and you just go one day and think, I got this? There's no hope here. Jonah has worked himself into a frenzy. He's obedient, but he gets halfway through, a third of the way through a process, and he cuts the process short. Now, I know that I'm the only one in this room who's ever had a tendency to cut a process short. I know all y'all finish everything you start. You never jump to conclusions about people, situations, jobs, relationships, the state of the country. Y'all wait until things are totally finished. Now, Jonah and me, we cut the process short sometimes. And so Jonah draws a hard line in the sand because he's out for blood. Because he wants the Ninevites to pay. Because he's pretty sure that God doesn't like the same people he doesn't like. And what we see in this story is that the heart of God oftentimes stands in sharp contrast to the hearts of people like us. That God's instinct is different from your instinct, especially when you feel betrayed, angry, put out, put upon, and when you're hurting. So Jonah says, in 3 days, all y'all are going to die. And the third movement that we see in this story is truly shocking. Nineveh repents. They actually hear the word of the Lord. That's what the text says. They hear the word of the Lord from little people to great people. And the funny thing is here, the people repent before the king even hears about it. So this is not an edict coming down from the mountain. These people, these wicked people, they decide to turn their attention to God. So they put sackcloth on little babies and on nobles and animals and people. And they all began to cry out to God in a way that's supposed to be so over the top that it's almost funny. Like, you're supposed to laugh when you read that animals are walking around with sackcloth crying out to God. You're supposed to think this is really a wholesale response of these wicked people. So there are times in life where God will surprise us. And there are also times in life where people will surprise us. People you think are going to be good turn out to be bad. And people that you think are bad turn out to be those whose hearts are tender and soft toward the Lord. Well, this is one of those times where the bad guys turn out to be more tenderhearted than we would imagine. So here's another theme in the book of Jonah that maybe applies to our own life. Thinking of the Ninevites and Jonah, one of the things God wants to teach us in this little book is that it's never too late to turn back. It's never too late to get back on the right path. That we may have gone 99 steps down the wrong road, but if we turn back, the Lord will welcome us home. It's never too late to repent. It's never too late to rethink the trajectory of your life. And so today, if you're headed down a really bad road, if you've gone down a bad road and even suffered really bad consequences, because this is also a story about consequences, right? Like, Jonah's done some bad things. He ended up in a bad situation in the belly of a fish. Consequences are a real thing connected to our choices. But if we will turn back, if we will get back on the right road as opposed to the wrong road, God will always welcome us home. And this is a theme that we need to hear in light of our own decision making in our own life. Today, it's not too late for you to turn back. It's not too late for you to rethink your life, to make a new start in your life. Jonah teaches us anything. That's one of the things that it teaches us. In our home, we have a saying. We say there's always a way forward. No matter what you're facing, no matter how desperate it seems, no matter how hopeless it seems, there's always a way to move forward. Jonah teaches us that. So today, if you feel like you're too far gone, if you feel like situations have stacked up against you in such a way that you can't move forward, I would say to you, there is always a way forward. Here's the last thing we see. God's instinct is to forgive and restore. I love this anthropomorphism. Have you ever heard of that? Remember that from literature when you were a kid, English? So an anthropomorphism is when we attribute to like rocks and streams and to God human-like characteristics. So when we see in this passage, God saw and God changed his mind, we can get confused by that and think, does that mean God's like a fickle, blown around, you know, easily manipulated? This is the Bible's way of teaching us that our God's instinct is to listen, and he's made it such that he is moved by the hearts of people. This is not weakness on the part of God. This is actually strength on the part of God. And what we're meant to see at the end, when all the people and the animals are in sackcloth and they're crying out to God and they've done a bunch of bad things and now they're doing one good thing, when it says the Lord saw and the Lord changed his mind, what we're meant to see in that is that God, his instinct toward humans like us, is to forgive and restore. That God is waiting for an invitation to meet us when we see that we've been going down the wrong road. And one of the reasons why we oftentimes do not repent is because we fear that if we turn back to God after we've done bad stuff, that God will mete out vengeance against us. But what we see in this story is that God's instinct was to welcome the broken, wicked Ninevites back home. His instinct was to meet them in their brokenness. And we'll see next week that that's also God's instinct toward Jonah. His instinct is to forgive and to restore. But here's the mistake that we make, or a mistake that we make. When I live away from God, when I move in rebellion, my heart grows hard. I think the same is true for you. The further away from God we are in terms of regular fellowship and communion, the harder our hearts become. And when our hearts become hard, we begin to believe that God is like us. That when we're away from God, that God's heart is hard toward us. And y'all, I just want to tell you, it's not true. I've lived this enough in my own life. I've seen these times where I've been in a hard place, and when I've turned back to God, it's taken me a minute to catch up to it, but I've realized on the back end that God's heart was not hard toward me. Some of us in this room were guilty of ascribing to God that which is currently true about us. We're hard-hearted, so we think he must be hard-hearted. I'm just going to tell you he's not. And you're going to have to figure that out for yourself, but you won't ever figure it out unless you make a choice to move in a new direction. I believe what the Lord is longing for right now in our day and age are more people with tender hearts. What the Lord is asking for many of us, is people who will stay tender-hearted even when we really hurt and even when life is really hard. And so the Lord's instinct in this story is to forgive, to restore. So this is where we'd like for the story to end. I mean, if the story ended at the end of chapter 3, it's an awesome story. Jonah does his job, mission accomplished, awesome, the end. Yeah, that's not what happens. Jonah, I think he asked to die at least 2 times in the next chapter. It's wonderfully bad. And so I hope you'll come back next week. Because next week plumbs the depths of human nature. It plumbs the depths of like our bad response, even when God's doing really cool stuff. And I think it's an invitation for us to see ourselves. One of the things that I think we're going to need to sit with is another theme in the book of Jonah is this, that we crave mercy for ourselves and vengeance for other people. Stay tuned. If you're able, let's stand together. Thanks so much for listening to the sermon today. My name is Chris McDaniel. I am the pastor here on the west side at Trinity in Atlanta. At Trinity, our mission is to be a people who are growing into Christ-likeness. And if you want to find out more information about Trinity or get connected to the life of the church, please visit us at atltrinity.org. Thanks. God bless.